This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Matters of the Heart, and I'm going to be joined by Vineshree from MUT. Vineshree, welcome to the show. Very good morning to you.
Hi, Lucinda.
How are you?
Doing okay. Just a busy time for us.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So she is a lecturer and biomedical technologist. She is qualified in clinical pathology and quality. She has specialized in hematology, a diagnostic experience of 17 years, and of course, a teaching experience of 12 years. And today, it is the last day of us speaking about matters of the heart. I do understand that you've been doing it with Lushozi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So today is the last month of February. And now that it's coming to the end of February, this brings us to the end, of course, of the Matters of the Heart. I mean, throughout the whole month, you've been emphasizing on don't break your heart, or we have been emphasizing on don't break your heart. But please tell us, what is the link between the heart and hematology?
Well, hematology is actually a study of the blood. And if you look at the heart, the basic function of the heart is to pump blood throughout the body.
Mm.
And remember, if the body, the cells, the organs, they do not get blood, then they will fail to be oxygenated. So basically, the blood is very important. People ask me, why is the blood red and not green and orange or whatever? Yeah. So it's mainly because there's a lot of red cells. We have like 99% of red cells floating in the blood, right?
Yeah.
And these carry a very important protein called hemoglobin. And hemoglobin is the actual protein that will carry the oxygen, right? So it has a function where it will go to the lungs, get the oxygen from there. Well, there's a whole process which I can't like really explain.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's lots of processes in the body. To allow that function to happen. And then you get the blood from the lungs going back to the heart. So basically the heart is the pump of life.
Mm.
So, I mean, even your brain, if you do not get oxygen there within a few minutes, then you become brain dead.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's basically what it is all about.
Speaking about hematology, what is the role of a hematology biomedical technologist in a functional hospital? And what is the relationship between hematology biomedical technologist, a doctor, and a patient?
Okay, so basically, you'll find that if the patient's feeling sick, the patient will visit the doctor.
Yeah.
So the doctor will now liaise with the laboratory. So you always find there's a medical laboratory attached to the hospital. And then that's where we come in. You'll find that the biomedical technologists, they work at the laboratory doing all the testing. So a doctor cannot actually just look at you and say, you know what, I think you have anemia. Or he might suspect it, but he still needs to confirm it. So you can't go and tell a patient, you know what, this is what I have, this is what you have if you're not sure. So that's where we come in. So we play a very integral role in the whole of the medical profession.
Mm.
So basically you'll get say if the doctor suspects that, hey, this person's probably have this, it looks like the patient could have anemia or leukemia, but let's go and do a test. So they will now request for tests to be done. So you'll get samples being drawn from the patient, which will go to the laboratory, and then that's where you'll get the biomedical technologists that will analyze the samples, review the blood smears and things like that to actually discover what's going on with the patient. Does the patient have anemia? Is it normal? Is it abnormal? And then you also have, together with the biomedical technologist, you have the pathologist that will also play a vital role, because the pathologist now will liaise with the doctor to give that information across.
Mm. I've been reading more about hematology, and I bumped into the term oncologist.
Mm-hmm.
So is it the same thing? What is the difference between a hematologist and an oncologist? Because I know that some people may be confused by this.
Mm. Okay, so I think with hematology, there's a few terms that if you're not in the field, you'll get confused. Mm. So, I mean, if people are in school, like school learners, they probably get confused. So it's nice to, okay, let me just break it down. So the biomedical technologist works in the laboratory. So we don't usually work with the patients. We actually work with the patient samples, actually figuring out what's going on with the patient, right?
Mm.
Whatever disease the patient has. Then you'll get the hematopathologist. That's the doctor. He's the pathologist in the laboratory. So basically, you need to study to be to be a doctor, and then you specialize in pathology. So they will run the laboratory, and then they'll make sure that whatever the technologist is doing, they'll confirm that, hey, yes, this is definitely a leukemia, this is definitely anemia. But sometimes not all the results will go via the pathologist. Sometimes we send out results ourselves. But things like where you can't tell the patient you have leukemia, that's a big deal, you know. So you get the pathologist that will make sure they'll confirm, they'll do further tests and things like that. So that's basically, So then we spoke about the hematopathologist, we spoke about the biomedical technologist. Now, when you look at a hematologist, now hematologists basically will see patients. So they are doctors, they are specialists. They are specialists in the field of blood disorders. So if you suspect a blood disorder, you'll go to a hematologist who will figure out what blood disorder you got and how they're going to treat you for that. Okay? But now with an oncologist, the oncologist will basically see if you have any cancers. This will be any cancer, you know. And then they would also send for further tests, and then they will treat, you know, according to whatever cancer you have. So this could be solid cancers, anything. But the blood, the main thing about the blood is blood disorders, where you'll find the hematologist actually seeing the patient.
All right, now
is that clear?
Yes, now I have a full understanding, because now it is, for me it was a bit tricky as well. But now, if I can write a test, I can be able to answer that a biomedical technologist works in the lab, not with the patient. Then the hematologist works with the patient. It's more like the doctor, and then the oncologist will tell you if you have cancer or so forth.
Okay.
Lovely. We are really going with this. I'm really learning as well through this. But please take us through the most common blood diseases and also their symptoms and treatments.
Okay, so there's quite a few, right? Usually you find students struggling with all the diseases because there's a lot of terminologies and things like that. So if I had to pick, I think the most common would be anemias. Now, just like how I told you, the blood flows, right? Flows via the heart into the blood vessels and things like that. So those red cells are very, very important. You'll find that as soon as there's a decrease in the red cells, then we got a problem. Okay. So I don't know if you heard of this term called homeostasis, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so homeostasis, basically, you got to make sure that everything is working well in the body. Everything is balanced, your hormones, your proteins, everything. As soon as there's some kind of problem, then you find that the homeostasis is affected, right? So basically, if there's some kind of disease, something maybe could have happened to the patient and you ended up with a decreased red cell count, right? So remember I told you the red cell count carries the oxygen because it's carrying the important protein called hemoglobin. Okay, so when you have a decreased red cell count, you end up with a decreased hemoglobin, and there's another term called the hematocrit that will also decrease. So that will end up in anemia. Now, anemia can be caused by various reasons, right? You can find, for example, people might not eat enough red meat, for example, right? And then you might end up with less iron. Now, there's a very important chemical called iron that fits into your hemoglobin. Okay, now this is going into the processes.
Yeah.
But I think for me to make you understand, I'll just get maybe one or two lines into it, right? So this very important thing called iron, this chemical called iron, incorporates into your hemoglobin. Right?
All right.
So now imagine if you're going to have decreased red cell count and you're going to have decreased hemoglobin, which means you're not going to have enough iron. Right. So then you end up with something called iron deficiency anemia. So this anemia can be caused via various factors, but the underlying cause needs to be sorted out. Okay. So say, for example, if a patient has iron deficiency anemia, so I told you this important chemical called iron is not incorporated. There's not enough. Okay? So some of the causes could be, let's take for women, when you become pregnant, what happens? The doctor will say you need to take your vitamins, and one of it is being iron.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Remember your iron, your folate. Okay, those are very, very important components that fit into the actual process of forming that red cell. If you do not have that, then use the terminology that the red cell is, what's what I'm looking for? It'll malfunction because it cannot carry the oxygen, right? Basically. So, yeah, so when you're pregnant, you make sure you've got to have enough iron to send to the baby and to send to yourself. So most of the time you'll find that when women have their babies, they end up being iron deficient, and then you're going to feel tired, very tired. You're going to have lethargy. You get headaches, right? Those are like common things. So as soon as you start feeling tired, you quickly say, hey, you know what? Do I have enough iron levels? Am I anemic? And you look at your eyes start getting dark. You look at your hands are like whitish, you know? Because remember, we spoke about the iron. The iron has that reddish color, okay, which is incorporated into the hemoglobin, which is incorporated into the red cell. So if you have red cells floating in your blood, and if you're looking at your iron, you can actually see, hey, you know what? My hands look so whitish, which means it's not pinky enough.
Yeah,
which
it's means a bit pale.
Yes, which means there's not enough red cells floating in that area. So that's how you can suspect you are anemic.
I love the topic we're having today because we don't usually speak about these things, and they're so important.
Yeah.
Because I remember in high school, I used to have friends. They'll say, no, I have to eat more red meat because of this and that. And you know when in high school, you're like, are you faking it?
Yeah.
You know, just faking it. But now, the time you grow up, you get to understand, oh, actually, they were speaking the truth. And I know that some of our listeners are actually wondering right now, with such blood diseases, and what can one do to prevent such? Are there any cures for them, and also for treatments? Can you get them in public, or you have to go to private hospitals?
Okay, so the one I gave you about anemia is quite simple, right? The iron deficiency one. You basically need to take supplements, right? So if you take your supplements, you take your iron supplements, then you should be okay. But remember, what I didn't tell you about is where is this iron being incorporated? So just like how you have your blood vessels, you have all your red cells floating to the heart and back to the lungs, to all the tissue, etc. You also have something called bone marrow. Now, you know, people like meat. When you look at meat and you eat that center part and you say it's tasty, so that's the bone marrow inside the bone.
Yes.
Right, that's the bone marrow inside the bone. And you find that that's where the red cells are developing. That's where the iron is being incorporated into the red cell.
All right.
Right. So, so the bone marrow is basically a factory. I'll use the word. I'm just trying to bring it into layman's terms, right? So the bone marrow is basically a factory of producing your blood cells, especially your red cells. So if there's something gone wrong there, then you're in big trouble as well because you're not going to have enough red cells. Okay, so that's just iron deficiency. You can treat it. You go to the doctor, he'll give you some iron supplements, you take it. And remember now, to replenish your iron stores, you need about 3 months, right? You need about 3 months. So sometimes people might take iron for a long time. Then you end up with another disorder called iron overload. As I spoke about, you can't just take things, you know, you've got to consult and make sure that you're taking the right amounts, okay? It's all to do with homeostasis.
I didn't know that there's actually an overload as well.
You also have something called overload, and you end up with a disease called sideroblastic anemia. So, that's just one anemia. So then the other common disorder that you can get is leukemias. So just like how you get cancers, right, you also get blood cancer. So that blood that's floating around to your heart, okay, you can actually get cancer in the blood itself, right? And then that could be, so the leukemias is a whole range. There's chronic leukemias, there's acute leukemias. You'll find that the chronic leukemias, they are more indolent. They take longer to grow. It's a slow-growing cancer. And then you get the acute leukemias that's very, very aggressive, right? They grow rapidly. So how does it happen? How do you get the leukemia? And you'll find that it all starts in your bone marrow where the bloods are being produced, blood cells. That's where you're going to find this proliferation. So proliferation, basically think of it as there's this whole multiplication, right, of this particular stem cell that's now forming one of the blood cells that's floating in your blood, right, in your blood vessels. So when that happens, it just produces and produces, and then you end up with something called leukemia because you have this abnormal clone that's now floating in your blood. And because the bone marrow cannot accommodate so much of these abnormal cells, they now push it into the blood. And then that's how you end up with leukemia.
All right.
So leukemia is, it's quite serious. I mean, you feel very sorry for people that do have them, because some of them, you don't find an actual cure for them. And remember, with the research, they're still identifying ways to actually resolve this issue. But you'll find that with the leukemia patients, they start off with chemotherapy, radiotherapy, right? Those treatments are more the backbone. That's where it all started from. So we still currently use things called chemotherapy. But then now with modern research, there's more things that have come onto the market, things like monoclonal antibodies, where you find they'll use the antibody. Now, antibody basically, if you know your immune system, you heard of your immune system,
yes.
Right? So your antibody, if it enters your body, it'll actually now affect the immune system. Now, immune system is like the fighting force of the body, killing all the unknowns, right?
Yeah.
Killing all the bacteria. We don't want any unknowns in our body, right? Foreigners. So, so then we have this thing called monoclonal antibodies. They can work together with chemotherapy to actually help treat the leukemias. And then the latest research studies that have been done is called immunotherapy. Now, immunotherapy is also very exciting. I'll give you an example, right? So immunotherapy has worked for cancers, not only the leukemias. They worked for other cancers as well.
All right.
In countries overseas.
Mm.
So for the leukemia, so what they'll do, I'll just give you a quick snapshot of what I'm talking about. You introduce this particular antibody into your system. Now, remember, your cancer cells are very clever. The blood cancer cells are very clever.
All right.
They put on like a mask, right? So the immune system becomes, like, just say now you're a police, right? You're walking past me.
Mm.
I'm hidden. I don't look like a criminal. I'm like, you know, I look like somebody, like a normal person. So you're not going to suspect that I'm a criminal.
Yes.
I'm wearing this mask. Right. So when you introduce this immunotherapy into the body, they now go and activate the immune system. Well, there's still a whole lot of processes which I won't go into.
Yeah.
Right. And they will activate that immune system, and the immune system sort of now like gets a wake up call. And they can now see, hey, you've got a mask on, and they pull the mask off.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're the criminal. And then that's how you get all your immune cells fighting and killing them off.
Lovely.
So that's the latest, that's the latest treatment that's now going on. But in South Africa, it's still very uncommon. It's quite common overseas, even though it's new. But remember, in Africa, we now third world countries, okay? And it's still a lot of finances that will go into it. But I've seen studies that's being done, and I think it's very promising in terms of leukemia for our future.
We are definitely having a very informative chat here, Vinesh. But I know that there are young people out there who are looking at hematology as a career.
Mm-hmm.
What would you advise them, or what is the right steps to do if you want to have a career in hematology?
Okay, that can go two ways. You can either become a doctor, a normal doctor. You know, you do the MBCHB.
Mm.
Okay. Now, you'll find that some people are very passionate about actually working with people, right? And then there's some people that's passionate about working with people, but then they can't stand the sight of blood, and, you know, they can't...
Like,
I'm very emotional. Like, if I see you sick and you crying, then I'll end up crying. So I don't want to be a patient. I don't want to see the patient. So I prefer working in the background, doing very important work to actually diagnose that patient, okay?
Mm.
So the two paths that somebody can take is you can be a hematologist where you study to be a normal doctor, and then you specialize in hematology. So then that path will take you to now see patients that have blood disorders, and you will be able to treat them as well.
Mm.
Then the other path that they can take is they can become biomedical technologists, where the UOTs are offering it. So DUT offers it. MET offers it, then all the other University of Technologies around the country offer it as well. Okay,
yeah.
So with the biomedical technology, it was a diploma. It was 3 years, okay? You study for 3 years, then you do your internship and you become a biomedical technologist. You can either do clinical pathology, or you can specialize in one of the different fields. There's a whole lot of fields. There's cytology, there's histology, there's micro, there's heme. there's a lot of different fields. Okay. But now the exciting part as well, with MUT and the rest of the University of Technologies around the country, we've now introduced in the last 4 years, we've introduced a qualification called medical laboratory science, right?
So, right.
So now the terminology has changed where before you used to be called a biomedical technologist, now you're going to be called a medical laboratory scientist. Okay, so it sounds very exciting.
Yeah.
And now the course has changed as well because now it's a four-year course.
All right.
Okay, so it's a four-year course. So the student belongs to the university from day one right till the end of the fourth year. And there as well, you do your 3 years. There's a whole curriculum. The curriculum is jam-packed. Mm. Okay, it's a very exciting curriculum. So I'd advise a student that if they want to do medical laboratory science, they have to work from day one.
Yeah.
It's a very, well, you heard some of the things that I've just told you. There's a lot that goes. There's a lot that goes into this course, right? So they need to work from day one. And come the third year, the second half, they will do their world programs where they'll go into the laboratory, see what it's all about. Mm. Then they have a research project to do. So this curriculum is so active. It's so exciting because it's also incorporated the research component, which the biomedical technologists didn't have previously, right?
Yeah.
So you'll find that in their fourth year, they do the research project the whole year. And so, you know what? That's so marketable because now they got diagnostics, they got research, they got pharmaceuticals. There's like a whole. It's a very exciting career.
It does sound exciting, but at the same time, it's not for chance.
No, it's not.
If you are a lazy person, please do not even try to attempt because you're going to have a problem. It has research, and of course, there's a lot of work.
Yes, a lot of work.
You have to do. In closing, Vinesh, what would you like to say to each and everyone listening to the show right now as we're coming to the end of February, which also is the matter of the heart. We were talking about matters of the heart this month. What would you love to say as the closing?
Well, I think, you know, I think I'm the worst person to say this. Take care of your body because I've recently been in an accident. I can tell you that I don't take care of myself.
Oh, but mistakes happen.
Yeah, but I think, you know what, laboratory work is very important. Mm. If you're feeling ill or whatever, do the test, go to the laboratory, see a doctor. Because sometimes the doctor doesn't know everything. You might be fine. You might look well, but you don't know what's going on internally. As I told you, we have a homeostatic microenvironment within us, right?
Yeah.
In our blood, you need to go check yourself up. I'll give you an example. Recently, there was somebody that didn't even know they had leukemia, but just by the way, because of COVID, you know, COVID came up. You had COVID. And while they picked up COVID, they realized she has leukemia. Mm. So you don't know. So if you're feeling not well, go visit your doctor, get the test done, because now there's so much of help out there. There's so much of different treatments. You know, treatments ever changing. So that's what I advise people to do. Take care of that heart, take care of the blood.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Vinesh. Have a great day. And thank you for visiting us today at MUT Radio.
Thank you so much, Lucinda.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.